And the theme of it is a call to united effort. And I believe this is very important. One of the most important subjects that I know right now. But I'll definitely need your prayers as we endeavor to teach this lesson today. Our lesson is found in the 32nd chapter of the book of Numbers. We'll possibly read the first 11 verses for our scripture lesson. And you notice that the Bible teaches now that the children of Reuben and the children of Gad had a very great multitude of cattle, and when they saw the land of Jazer and the land of Gilead, that behold, the place was a place for cattle. The children of Gad and the children of Reuben came and spake unto Moses and to Eleazar the priest and unto the princes of the congregation, saying, Ataroth and Dibon, Jazer, Nimrah and Heshbon, and Eleazar, and Shebam and Nebo and Beon, even the country which the Lord smote before the congregation of Israel, is a land for cattle, and thy servants have cattle. Wherefore said they, if we have found grace in thy sight, let this land be given unto thy servants for a possession, and bring us not over Jordan. And Moses said unto the children of Gad and to the children of Reuben, shall your brethren go to war, and shall you sit here? And wherefore discourage ye the heart of the children of Israel from going over into the land which the Lord hath given them? Thus did your fathers when I sent them from Kadesh Barnea to see the land. For when they went up into the valley of Eshcol and saw the land, they discouraged the heart of the children of Israel that they should not go into the land which the Lord had given them. And the Lord's anger was kindled in the same time, and he sware, saying, surely none of the men that came up out of Egypt from 20 years old and upward shall see the land which I swear unto Abraham and unto Isaac and unto Jacob, because they have not wholly followed me. That's reading the mistakes that we've made, the first 11 verses from the 32nd chapter of Numbers. Now, we notice, of course, that the disobedience of God's children displeases God, and it brings punishment and trouble upon us. But I thought a call to a united effort. Now, I want to make this plain in the beginning. God has given us a standard to live by, to go by. The Word of God is that standard. There are many so-called churches in the world today, and I'm not talking about those churches that are teaching error and practicing error. I'm not talking about them. I'm talking about the true old-fashioned missionary Baptist church is the one I'm talking about. And not only the churches, but each individual church. It's very important. But God given the standard, and he tells us in the book of Isaiah, and I'm sure that most of you have read that, but in Isaiah, the 62nd chapter, in the 10th verse, he said, go through the gates, prepare ye the way of the people, cast up the highway, gather out the stones, lift up a standard for the people. Now, we are to make that way plain. We're to make it clear what that standard is to lift up before the world, before the people that we stand before and those that we try to teach the Word of God. So it is established, the standard is established by sovereign power, by the power of God, and it is a standard that we are to adjust our lives to go by. We are to adjust the things that we do to live up and go by the standard that he has left us to go by. Now, in the introduction, the children of Reuben and Gad sought inheritance on this side of Jordan. In other words, they saw what they wanted. And too many times we see what we want, and we leave others to fend for themselves or try to establish something for themselves. And want to notice something else. All the Lord's people have a common cause. There were 12 tribes, yet all brethren. The weakening and our strengthening of one affected all. So is the cause of the Lord. He said, I have called you friends. Are you not all brethren? All should be interested in the concerns of the kingdom. You and I today, belonging to that same kingdom, should all be concerned about the kingdom as a whole. Not just what a particular church can do to make the other churches look bad or whatever that you might think along that line. But let me say this. There are many different backgrounds and many different interests among God's people. We come from all different backgrounds, raised up different ways, have many different interests in this life. But there's one thing that we have in common, and that is the cause of God should be the common cause of all of us. We should all be sincere about that common cause of the Lord. Now in Numbers 32, 1 through 5, the children of Reuben and the children of Gad had cattle. They saw exactly what they wanted. In 32, 1 through 5, and I read this a few months ago, but listen to what he tells us. The children of Reuben and the children of Gad had a very multitude of cattle. They had something that they would be very prosperous in this land where they came to. And they didn't want to cross over Jordan. They wanted to stay just where they were, just what they had seen that they wanted. And they was willing to just let the others fend for themselves. But putting self-interest first is a great danger to the Lord's work. To everyone. If everyone put their self-interest first, I'm afraid the church wouldn't exist very long in the world. Fortunately, we do have people today, God's children, that are interested in all the true churches of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I believe we all should be interested in all of them. But it's dangerous to do that. The Reubenites said, "Let this land be given to thy servants for a possession, not by his own Jordan." And they saw exactly what they wanted, and they had cattle, and they wanted to settle there and let the others just look out for themselves. I'm afraid that many times we do that today. We let other people look out for themselves. We're not concerned about what they're doing. And many times, and I don't think this is as bad as some people would have you to believe, that we got a bunch of jealous preachers and they tie down everybody else. I haven't found that to be true. I don't know if that's true, but a lot of times you hear those statements made. There's a lot of things that go on in the world today, and people wonder, well, how come this happens and how come that happens? I can tell you that God is well in control of everything that's going on in the world today. He is well in control of everything. But because of our sinful ways, because of our selfish ways, God lets things happen to us. And I believe God might be saying something to us as children of God. We do need to unite our efforts together to win lost souls for God, because this is the most important thing that we have to do today. You remember the Bible said that he criticized the churches and churches in Asia and over in the book of Revelations, and one of those things was because the people had left their first love. And if we get more interested in something else than we are in the salvation of lost souls, we are wrong, and God knows we're wrong, and we'll be punished for that. But the Reubenites said, "Let this land be given to the servants possessed, not go to Jordan." And they saw what they wanted and so on, and they were just for themselves. Many times Christians settle down with the knowledge of salvation and its enjoyment and fall out of the ranks of people that serve God. You find lots of people in the world, and I saw this happen a number of times, and I know it's that you have too, that people get saved and they rejoice and they're happy and they'll come to church a few weeks or a few months and something happened and they fall out and they don't come back anymore. This happens too often. And we, as the people of God, many times just let them go on. We don't go to try to get them to come back and to win them back to the Lord. But I want you to know that the Bible says that this is a call to a united effort. Now, I believe God calls us to unite together to bring people to the house of God and to encourage lost people to come that they might get saved. And if we are fussing about to one another about somebody, this doesn't do anything but hurt the cause of God. That's all it does. I believe in being optimistic. I don't like to hear bad things about a church. I don't even like to hear a person talk about how bad it is in the presence of lost people. Let me ask this question. How many people want to go to some place that is not, you don't enjoy yourself? I like to go somewhere where I can enjoy myself. And you know, going to church is not work. We go to church to enjoy the blessings because of the work we've done all week. And I believe if we did more work in the weekday, that we'd have more blessings when we came to church on Sunday. We go to church to entertain God. And I believe if we entertain him, we'll receive a blessing.
Amen.
So the Christians get saved, get the knowledge of salvation, and I do believe in the security of the believer. I believe in that. But let me tell you, when you get salvation, your want to gets changed.
Amen.
You want to do what God wants you to do. You want to enjoy the blessings of God. You want to work for God because there's blessings in working for Him. But they fall out of the ranks of the aggressive workers. And we have found grace with God. And I believe that we ought to live godly for Him. Now, selfish interest discourages others. I'm sure that many times people get saved and they get discouraged because of the things that we do. Because if we're not showing interest in someone else, just interest in our own self, or that discourages people. You notice that in Numbers 32 and 7, discouraged the brethren and said, "Wherefore discourage you the heart of the children of Israel from going over into the land which the Lord has given them?" Now, if one person just settles down and because they find exactly what they want, it discourages the others from going on and doing what God wants them to do. There's more than one way to discourage people. Of course, when they do what the children of Gad and Reuben wanted to do, well, this is a discouragement, no doubt, to people. But there are many other ways to discourage them from seeking the deeper knowledge of salvation. Many times we may bring that on them by slandering the good name of the Church of the Lord Jesus Christ. In other words, sometimes you hear Baptist people say bad things about Baptist churches. And that discourages those that are young Christians. Young Christians are easily discouraged. Old Christians are too, in a way, but not as easily as young Christians. But we discourage people by doing that and bringing slander on the good churches and the good people of God. And through unbelief. Not only that, but by talking about how bad things are many times. And I don't think we ought to do that. And I've said that a number of times. I don't think that we ought to talk about how bad things are among lost people and so on. If we think something's bad in our church, we ought to go look in the mirror and see where the trouble is. Because it's in the members of that church. I believe that God can bless one church and let every other church in the country dry up. I really believe He can do it. Because God is able to bless. And He said all things work together for good to those that love God. Now, if we believe John 3:16, we've got to believe that too. That's a little hard to believe sometimes, isn't it, when we don't see things that way. By magnifying the difficulties that are before us, we magnify the things that are wrong, and to let people know that everything is going bad, and if our churches keep going the direction they're going, then there's not going to be any churches in a little while. Well, if we really believe that, we need to go to work a little harder. And I do believe that we need to go to work. I'm not telling you that everything's just right. I'm not telling you that for a minute. But let's don't make it sound worse than what it is. But let's tell our people. Let's get together with the members of the church that's able to persuade other people to get out and work. And let's persuade them to do that. Because this is the way we can cure our ills, is by working. We can't just sit back and complain. That's not going to help one thing in this world. So, to magnify the difficulties in the way or enter into possession of it, in Deuteronomy 1:22 and 28, let me turn to that. We find some statements made that I want to look at for just a moment. Deuteronomy, the first chapter, we find this these statements made. 12th verse, I believe, we find a statement made. No, let me go up here to the 28th verse. He said, "Whither shall we go up? Our brethren have discouraged our hearts, saying, the people is greater and taller than we. The cities are great and walled up to heaven. And moreover, we have seen the sons of the Anakims there." In other words, they were a great people. They were a great large people. And the cities was all walled up. And we think about many times that all these modern churches that are in the world, and how that they've got hundreds and hundreds of people that are there on Sunday morning. The yards are all full of cars and so on. And the way they operate by having programs and everything for people to come in, we magnify that and we say, well, what can we do? I'll tell you what we can do. We can talk to God about it, and we can go to work. The obstacles are not too great for God's people if we just go to work for Him. And unite our efforts together with our brethren, in our church in particular, and in the sister churches that are around us that are upholding this standard. That's what we need to do, I think. Now, in Deuteronomy 9:1, I believe, another statement I want to read. And he said this. Maybe it's in the 1-5. "Hear, O Israel, thou art to pass over Jordan this day to go into possess nations greater and mightier than thyself. Cities great and fenced up to heaven." Now God is able to give us the victory. There's a reason why He doesn't. And that reason has got to be our fault. Because God doesn't have any faults. "A people great and tall." In other words, he's talking about now this nation that's greater and mightier than they are. And he said, "A people great and tall, the children of Anakims, whom thou knowest and whom thou hast heard say, who can stand before the children of Anak? Understand therefore this day that the Lord thy God is he which goeth over before thee as a consuming fire. He shall destroy them, and he shall bring them down before thy face. So shalt thou drive them out and destroy them quickly, as the Lord has said unto thee." Now, do you believe that God is able to do that? God said he is God, same God yesterday, today, and forever. If God was able to deliver them in the face of the opposition that they had, certainly I believe God is able to unite his churches together that we may see lost souls get saved and the churches prosper in this world. I believe God's able to do that. Now he goes on to say, "Speak not thou in thine heart after the Lord thy God has cast them out from before thee, saying," now don't do this, after he's cast them out before them, or after he has delivered us and given us the unity that we need and the churches are prospering, don't go and say what he told them not to say. "Speak not thou in thine heart after that the Lord thy God has cast them out from before thee, saying, for my righteousness the Lord hath brought me in to possess this land, but for the wickedness of these nations the Lord doth drive them out from before thee." It's not because of our righteousness that he does it, but because of the wickedness of those nations. And the wickedness of the nation that we live in today, it's very wicked, no doubt. And God is able to give us the victories. "Not for thy righteousness, nor for the uprightness of thine heart, dost thou go in to possess their land, but for the wickedness of these nations the Lord thy God doth drive them out from before thee, and that he may perform the word which the Lord sware unto the fathers Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob." Now let me mention the message this morning. I enjoyed both of them. Brother Reynolds, I thought, done a fantastic job about the government and so on. And we need to pray. We need to pray. We can all see that we need help. We need God's help. God is the only one that can deliver us from these things that we're entangled in at this time. In Numbers 13:28, another statement I want to read. And he said this in the 28th verse. He said, "Nevertheless, the people be strong that dwell in the land, and the cities are walled up very high. And moreover, we saw the children of Anak there, and the Amalekites dwell in the land of the south, and the Hittites and the Jebusites and the Amorites dwell in the mountains, and Canaanites dwell by the sea and by the coast of Jordan. And Caleb stilled the people before Moses and said, "Let us go at once and possess it, for we will be well able to overcome it." But the men that went up with him said, "We be not able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than we." And they brought up an evil report of the land which they had searched into the children of Israel, saying, "The land through which we have gone to search, it is a land that eateth up the inhabitants thereof, and all the people that we saw in are men of great stature." Now listen to what else he said. "Men, and there we saw the giants, the son of Anak, which come of the giants, and we were in our own sight as grasshoppers, and so we were in their sight." Now, we may consider ourselves, and we are, weak creatures. We're people that need God's help. But I can assure you that God is able to deliver His churches and His people from all the obstacles that are in our way as churches in this land, that we need to unite ourselves together. Now, it's the Bible said, seeking the good of others is helping on God's cause. If you want to be blessed, let's help someone else. Don't worry about yourself, help someone else. In Numbers 32 and 6, Moses said, "Shall your brethren go to war and you sit here?" You know, every church, no doubt, has members that never show up. And you say, well, they're not missed. They wouldn't help anything if they were here. Let me ask you this. The little finger seems very insignificant to you, doesn't it? But I can assure you that if something happened to it, you'd miss it. A member might be insignificant as far as we're concerned many times, but you'd be surprised how much they can help if they'd be at the house of God. A body needs every member. Every member. And we need to seek the good of those people. We need to seek them and to encourage them to do what God wants them to do and be back at the house of God. We need that. Now, I believe that we ought to encourage and go out and visit people that are members of the church that don't show up, that don't come. I believe we ought to do that. That's seeking the good of others. Now, we are in a battle. We are in a warfare. Whether we want to look at it that way or not, that's what we're in. We're in a warfare. There's two powers in the world. One of them is God's power and the other is Satan. And God's people have the power of God to go out and to do battle with Satan's soldiers that are in the world. And I believe have the power to win over them. So we need to go out there and encourage them to be at the house of God. It's a great privilege to be able to help others to find their rightful place in the Lord Jesus Christ. It's a great privilege to go out and bring a lost person to church that they may hear the gospel and be saved. It's a blessing to do anything for God's cause. But we need to work for God and to encourage our people. Not discourage them, but to encourage them. They don't need discouragement. They get enough of that by looking around them and seeing what's going on. But it don't have to be that way. It don't have to be that way. But we've got to get together. We've got to be united. We've got to work together. Just because the church is sitting over the hill and doing a little better than the church that we're at, it's no sign that we ought to criticize them or try to get people away from them. We need to encourage people to do whatever they feel that God wants them to do and just show their work for God. That's what we need to do. It's a privilege to be able to help others find the right place. And let me tell you that teachers are necessary. I don't really believe that a preacher preaches if he don't teach somebody something. I don't know what y'all believe, but I really don't believe that you really preach or that you taught someone something. And I do a poor job of doing it. I know that. But on the other hand, I know it's the truth. Or I believe it to be the truth. So we need to teach people. People need to be taught. Now, doing nothing is a sin against God. Numbers 32 and 23, I believe. The Bible teaches us this. Numbers 32:20-22. I'll get it right in a few minutes. He said this, "And Moses said unto them, if you will do this thing, if you will go armed before the Lord to war." Now, how do we go armed? We put on the helmet of salvation and the breastplate of righteousness and faith in God. Those are the armor. That's the battle. That's the armor that we fight with. You've got to have it in the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. That's what wins people, is the Word of God. Not what I think or what someone else thinks. It's what God said. And the story of Jesus Christ really wins them over. Moses said unto them, if you will do the same, if you will go armed before the Lord to war, and we'll go all of you armed over Jordan before the Lord until he hath driven out his enemies from before him, and the land be subdued before the Lord, then afterward ye shall return and be guiltless before the Lord and before Israel, and this land shall be your possession before the Lord. Now, he's talking to the children of Reuben, the children of Gad. He said, if you go over and help them get that land, then you can have this land over here. Nothing wrong with that if you just help them get that. It's over there. We've got to help other people. We've got to work with other people. We've got to work for other people. We've got to encourage other people. And he goes on to say, but if you will not do so, behold, ye have sinned against the Lord, and be sure your sins will find you out. Now, if we just stop and get what we want and leave others to do, fend for themselves, and we don't help them out, then we've sinned against God. That's what the Bible says. Now, doing nothing, as we've mentioned, is sin against God. To neglect, depart, great work of the Lord for the church is a sin. It betrays itself in being cowards. You know, a coward doesn't go to battle. In other words, the way you cannot be a coward is study God's Word to know what to give an answer to people when they ask you what certain things mean. And you'd be afraid to say something to a person if you don't know how to answer them. But the Bible says, study, show yourself approved unto God, a workman that may not be ashamed, right, the dividing the Word of truth. There's more to salvation than just saying, well, I know I got saved. If that's all you tell a person, they can say the same thing. They go down here to one of these modern churches and something happened to them, whatever they do down there. And of course, we know what most of them do. But anyway, they'll tell you they got saved. Possibly didn't do anything but just accept Jesus Christ as their personal Savior in word. But there's more to it than that. It betrays itself in cowardice and in indifference. People want to be indifferent sometimes. They don't want to be friendly. Let me tell you, friendliness is something that we all need.
Amen.
As preachers, you need friendliness. I'm telling you this, it may be a joke. I've thought about it a lot of times. You make people like you, they'll go along with almost anything you preach as long as it's the truth. But if they don't like you, I don't care how smart you are, they'll pick you to death. And you can believe that if you want to, but it's the truth. I believe that. Worldliness, being worldly, concerned about all the worldly things all the time. We need to talk about God. We need to talk about His church. They're the things that are important in our lives. When we get together, that's what we need to talk about. How are we going to do something for the church to make it do better? It'll never do good enough. It'll never do to our satisfaction. It shouldn't. We should never be satisfied. I've thought about this in a job. A lot of times you have a certain job and you're satisfied, you won't ever get any further. That's as far as you'll ever go. But you can't be satisfied with where you're at. You need to go further. Finally, it'll end up in open sin. If we're worldly, and if we are afraid to go out there and we neglect our responsibility and we're cowardice, we'll finally end up in open sin. Now these things, people look at you and they may not see that, but it's there. Now, devotion to the interests of God's children secures blessings. It's more blessed to give than it is to receive, isn't it? That don't necessarily mean money. Of course, that can be one of the things. But to give yourself. Give yourself to the cause of God. To the cause of the people that you're preaching to, that you're pastoring, or that you're around. Give yourself. Don't feel like that you've done all you need to do for people and you're just tired and you're not going to do anything else. Don't be that. Numbers 32, 20, and 22, I mean, it's fear and gold, and they have their possession on this side of Jordan on the condition that they passed over and helped the other brethren and so on. But the reason that Christians have not entered into a soul-satisfied portion of life is because they have ceased to help others. I believe that when we cease to help other people, we're not going to be blessed ourselves. The workers of God are the happiest class of people. Can you think of anything any duller than sitting in the house and watching TV? I can think of nothing any more dull than doing that. There's always plenty for God's children to do. There's people that need encouragement. There's sick people that we need to visit. There's lost people that we need to encourage. There's people that don't come to church we need to visit, we need to encourage. There's so much to be done, and I believe God lets us know that it needs to be done. And if God lets us know that it needs to be done and we don't do it, I don't believe God will bless our hearts. Not as we could have if we did what He wanted us to. So Paul said in Galatians 6 and 2, he said, "Bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the love of Christ." Now this is what Christ wants us to do, is bear one another's burdens. Help people. And you'll be blessed for it. A united effort makes a strong army for God. I know that we don't count numbers to win a battle. God is able to give a church that don't have 10 members, He's able to give them a victory. He's able to give a church for the 1,000 members of victory. But I can tell you that a united effort makes a strong army for God. If we're all working for the same cause, we all love one another and we're concerned about one another, that is a strong effort that God will bless. And I believe He will. And He will strengthen His kingdom. Now the Bible said a house divided against itself cannot stand. But a united effort will. It can grow. It will grow. We believe that we go to church to entertain God. And I tell you where I got that. There's an old black man preaching on a tape one time that I heard that. And I thought, well, how true that is. He said, you don't go to church to get a blessing. You go to church to entertain God, and God will bless you if we entertain Him. Don't you believe that we entertain Him in preaching, in singing, in praying? Don't you believe that's entertaining God? I believe that it is. And I believe if we do that, God will bless us. So we go to church to help other people and to receive the blessings of God for ourselves. So people need to hear. They need to hear something optimistic. They don't need to hear something pessimistic. Who wants to be around a pessimist? Do you like to be around a pessimist? Somebody that complains all the time? I don't. I don't know. I don't think any of you do. Let's remember that. Let's be optimistic. Let's look at the brighter side of things. I know I've been told a few times that I just stick my head in the sand, don't pay no attention to nothing. But I most of the time I feel pretty good, so I don't worry too much about those things. And with no point in going around worrying about everything in the world. If you do what God wants you to do and you do the best you can, then leave the results in the hands of God. May God bless you. That's my message.